have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in John's Gospel. John's Gospel. Thank the Lord for our privilege to assemble ourselves together here again tonight and study His Word. Appreciate you that have come out tonight. Appreciate the folks that had us to eat today. What a blessing. And that kindness that you showed us today. As preacher has already said, we have been since Sunday morning looking at a little phrase that appears some 25 or 30 times in the scriptures. Enough that it would not be a coincidence that it has been mentioned. And it is the little phrase, this man. And for exception of a few times, every time it is mentioned, they're making a big to-do about who Jesus is. And so we're preaching in these days on making much of this man. He is worthy of making a big to-do about him. You and I would not be worth a footnote. We would not even be worth an honorable mention. But he is worthy of all the mentions tonight. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody would forget you and remember him? Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if you would forget me and remember him? Oh, what a blessing that would be. But you know, there's some of us, it's hard to forget you. Because you keep promoting yourself.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I tell you, I want to be forgotten, don't you? And him remembered. We've made much of this man's claims. Well, who in the world does he think he is? He thinks he's God. And he said he's got the crown. I'm glad of that tonight. We made much of this man's compassion. He said he receiveth sinners. That he even likes to eat with them. Well, I'm glad for a God tonight that loves sinners. Amen. Goes after them until he finds them. There is not a sinner that he died for that'll be in hell. He'll get every one of them.
Amen.
I assure you of it tonight. There's not a sinner that he ain't got. There'll be no mansions in heaven with the cobwebs growing up and the grass growing up around them. Oh, no. They shall be full. Their residence shall be there. He'll not sit in heaven one day wringing his hands saying, boy, I wish I could have got that when it got away from me. Oh, no. I'm talking about the compassion of this man. We looked last night at making much of this man's conduct. It's not about turning over a new leaf, trying to straighten up and straighten out. Only way I can change my conduct is make a big to-do about the one that's living inside of me. There's a spotless, perfect Lamb of God that has never sinned. It is impossible for him to sin. He's living inside of me, but the only way he'll live inside of me is if the former resident, who is me, will die tonight. And if I die, he'll live that spotless life through me. Talking about making much of this man's conduct. Tonight, I'd like to turn our attention and begin tonight in John's Gospel, chapter 11. And I'd like to, if I could tonight, and the Lord would allow me, I'd like to make much of this man's cross tonight. This man's cross. Oh, how often tonight we make a big to-do about our cross. Probably not a person in the building tonight that doesn't have some kind of cross that God has brought into your life. Some kind of suffering, some kind of sorrow, some kind of heartache, some kind of problem, some kind of physical problem, emotional problem, mental problem, financial problem, some kind of family problem. Have a tendency to make a big to-do about it. But I promise you tonight, if you'll ever if you'll ever make a big to-do about his cross, he shall make your cross a light burden and an easy yoke. You make a big to-do about his cross, and he may even cause you to forget that you ever had a cross. Our crosses tonight, those crosses that we have, they are the basis of most of our conversation. We like to talk to them. We like to call up a friend and tell them about our crosses. We like to spend a lot of time on our crosses. We like to throw a lot of money at our crosses. And I'm not being ugly. I'm not condemning you. I notice in the prayer room, most of the prayers are about our crosses. I did not hear anybody in the prayer room tonight said, pray for me tonight that God forbid that I'd glory in anything save the cross of Christ and him crucified. I tell you tonight, you begin to glory and make a big to-do about his cross. You're liable to forget you ever had a cross. Are you listening to me tonight? As we begin tonight to try to make much of this man's cross, begin in John's Gospel, chapter number 11, I'd like to draw our attention, first of all, tonight, to the rejection of this man. The rejection of this man. I notice in John 11, in verse 47, he was rejected by the fathers. I use little f. Talk about the church fathers. The Bible says in verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees. This is a group of people that should be on the same side as he is. They seem to believe in the same God of the Old Testament that he believes in. They seem to believe in the same Old Testament scriptures that he believes in. The Bible said, they said, what do we for this man? There's our little phrase. Making a big to-do. What are they making a big to-do about? His miracles. Well, gracious, are they excited about him? Uh-uh. It's rubbing them the wrong way. They don't like it. Bible says in verse 48, if we let him thus alone, all the men will believe on him. The Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. Verse 57, now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it that they might take him. I saw that, I come away with a question. Why in the world would they reject him? Why? You've got your Bible there tonight, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 26. I want us to see not only was he rejected by the fathers, little f tonight, the religious leaders, man, they on the same page. They's on the same team. Why in the world would they reject him? I notice in the scriptures tonight, not only was he rejected by the fathers, but he was rejected by his followers. I tell you, preacher, if I'd have been there, I'd have stuck with him to the end. Gracious, you fooling yourself. Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all... didn't know if you'd see that word or not. thought I'd underline it. All the disciples forsook him. Later. This is the fair-haired boys. These are the ones that have spent 3 years with him. They rub elbows with him. They've slept with him. They've watched him raise the dead. I thought about that. And I come away with a question. Why in the world would they reject him? Man, he has fed them for 3 years. He's taken care of every need they've had. They had a family need, he was in the middle of it, taking care of everything. His followers. I notice also in this text, his followers in verse 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. This is Peter. What in the world would he want to reject him for? He's never done anything to Peter. What would he want to reject him for? I see in verse 7, but he denied him for them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out of the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath. He took an oath this time. He said, it's something like, on my mother's grave, I swear I don't know that man. Away with the question. Why in this world? Why would his own followers reject him? The Bible says in verse 73, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began... Gracious. Now he's going to cuss. He said, I don't even know that blankety blank Jew. Why? Why in this world? He said, bless God, if I'd have been there, I'd have stood with him. Gracious, you'd have been further away than they were.
Why yet? Why yet?
Why? Notice if you have the Bible there tonight in John's Gospel, chapter number 27. Not only was he rejected by the fathers, little f, rejected by his followers. I notice in this text tonight he was rejected by his own father. His own father turned his back on him. Talking about making a big to-do. About your cross? God forbid. Your cross is not even worth an honorable mention. Your cross is not even worth the buttons that you would push on your cell phone to call your buddy and tell them about it. They're not worth it. Rejected by his own father. The Bible says in Matthew 27, verse 46, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I come away with a question tonight. Why would his own father, why? I can understand maybe the religious fathers. I can even understand the followers. His own father rejected him. I kept asking myself, I said, why in this world, you've got your Bible there tonight, Ephesians chapter number 1. Why in this world? Why in this world would all of them reject him. Came across this little verse in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 6. The praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The reason that he was rejected tonight is that I might be accepted tonight. I could have never been accepted unless the whole world would have rejected him tonight. And I'm now accepted tonight in the beloved. When Christ he has me inside of him, and when God looks at me, he doesn't see me anymore. He sees Christ tonight. You say, preacher, when did you get in Jesus? When you got saved? God forbid. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 said, I was placed in there before the foundation of the world. When they rejected him, they rejected me. And when they rejected him, I was accepted of the Father. Why would I want to talk about your stinking cross? When I could talk about his. Did you notice while we were making a big to-do about his cross, you got to sort of feeling a little light? Felt like you. Felt like you was having a little light burden. You just, whoo. And I tell you, I feel like I could fly. Huh? Just for a moment or two, you forgot you even had trouble. Some of you even forgot your back was a hurting. Your legs were hurting. Make a dick to do about his cross. You'll forget yours. The rejection of this man. If you have the Bible there, we'll turn back to John chapter number 11. We make much of this man's cross. Could I mention not only the rejection of this man? Could I mention tonight the substitution by this man? Substitution by this man. The little word substitution tonight means to stand in the place of another. To stand in the place of another. You do not have to agree with the statement that I'm going to make. But if I think if you'll think it out and make a big to-do about Jesus' cross, you will come to the same conclusion. Christ did not die tonight to make my salvation possible. He did not die to make it possible. He died to make my salvation sure tonight. Let's say tonight, for instance, he was in the business tonight of dying to make salvation possible. Let's say the whole world decided they didn't want it. Would he have not had egg on his face had he had died and nobody wants it? Oh, I'm telling you tonight. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I love what old Larry Winkler told me not long ago. He said he was over in the Holy Land some time ago. He said, they won't let you go up on Golgotha's Hill anymore. There's a lot of erosion and stuff. They have a guard up there. He said the whole way over there, he said it was his intention. He just wanted to stand on top of Calvary's Hill. He said he talked to the guard. I don't know. It seemed like me told me slipped him a little money. And he let him go up there and stand on the top of Calvary's Hill. Old Larry told me, he said, Tom, he said, I just knowed when I got up there on top of it. He said, I just knowed I was going to come unglued and just have a spell up there. He said, but once I got up there on top of Golgotha's Hill, he said, I looked around and he said, I realized, he said, gracious, I've been here before. Why, yeah. 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 Christ died on that cross. I was inside of him. I died too. When they buried him, they buried me. When he arose, I arose too. When he ascended, I ascended too. When he sat down at the right hand of the Father, I sat down there too. One day I'll have to tell me to get up so I can sit down. He didn't die hoping I'd get saved. I notice in John chapter number 11 and verse 50 that he was a substitution for a people. It says in verse number 50, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. People here, in the word whole, has the indication of a part of a whole. Jesus died for a people. Matter of fact, his mama made this statement. Let's call him Jesus, for he shall give his life for the sins of his people. He is shedding his blood for his people. I notice along these same lines in John's gospel in chapter number 10, verse number 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for everybody. He doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. He says he gave his life for the sheep. Your former pastor, Brother Wade Huntley, I heard him say it with his own mouth at Taylorsville Baptist camp meeting. He said, if you're a goat, you'll never be a sheep. And if you're a sheep, you'll never be a goat. No truer words have been spoken. Jesus come. Brother Gillum, how would I know if I'm one of his sheep? Glad you asked that question, because Jesus answers it in this text. He's a substitution for a people now. Sheep. He tells us who the sheep are in John 10, verse 27. Verse 27, my sheep, hear my voice. I ask you a question tonight. Here's my question. Has God ever talked to you? Has God ever talked to you? Are you talking about these ears? God forbid. Talking about the ears of your heart. If he saved you, he gave you ears to hear him. Sometimes I hear him down here so loud I think he's talking up here. You say, preacher, God ain't never talked to me. You know how come? Because you ain't one of his sheep. God talks to his sheep. You say, preacher, how does he talk to them? One of the ways that he talks to them, he talks to them through Scripture. He will not talk to you with a closed Bible. I don't care how hard you yell, bless God, we stand on the old King James Bible. Ain't going to do you a bit of good to stand on it. Get off from it and open it. Can't talk to you unless you open it. He will talk to you through divine impressions. Make an impression upon your heart. I was made a fool recently in Viola, Arkansas, because 15 minutes before he made a fool out of me, he made a divine impression. upon my heart. He told me in a prophet's chamber, take those glasses that you have been wearing for over a year and get the new pair out of your book bag. Didn't listen to it. Went on to church, stepped in the pulpit, reached for my glasses, and they broke on the way out. And so the whole Sunday school, I'm preaching like this. I'm sure he's up there in heaven laughing. Look at that dummy. I told him to get his new glasses out before he started. He'll speak to you. You're walking with him. He'll make divine impressions upon you. He'll speak to you through creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. I'm not trying to be ugly. I won't call his name. I know it's going out on radio. I wouldn't want to down him, but he is a well-known preacher in these days. Very famous preacher. He was on Fox News the other morning applauding a young boy that had graduated from college at 12 years old, and it was his desire to go on to get his doctor's degree in universal science. And it was because he said he wanted to prove that there is a God. And this preacher was on there applauding him. Isn't that wonderful? This 12-year-old boy wants to get a doctor's degree so he can prove that there is a God. She told me that he couldn't hear me hollering at the TV, but I hollered at him, tell that boy to look up in the sky. We ain't got to get a doctor's degree. Just look around. Speak to you. How would he speak to us? He'll speak to us through providence. He'll arrange things that is absolutely impossible for you to arrange. It says here in our text, he says, my sheep hear my voice. Look at verse 27. And I know them. You notice there's no mention of you knowing him? You know hell will be full of people that know him. See, the question of you going to heaven is not if you know him. Oh, no. The question is, does he know you? The question is not, have you received him? The question is, has he received you? The question is not, do you love him? The question is, does he love you? The question is not, have you reached out to him? The question is, has he ever reached down to you? He said, my sheep? He said, I know them. He says, and they follow me. They mimic me. They want to be like me. Substitute for a people. I was thinking about that knowing him. Just for a second, I won't take long. I know time is of a essence tonight. At him knowing you, John's Gospel, chapter number 2, our Lord had just done the miracle of turning the water into wine. Verse 23, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name. They saw the miracles which he did. Gracious man, a bunch of them believe. Get the baptism of waters ready. Gracious, called a sword of the Lord. We have done had a bunch who have believed. Verse 24 says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them. The little word commit there that is in verse 24 and the word believe in verse 23 is the same Greek word. He said they believed in him. He didn't believe in them. Ruh-roh. He says because he knew all men. See, the reason why that they have not got a belief from him is because he's never, ever said anything to them. He never spoke to them. Matter of fact, he says in verse 25, he says he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He's never said a word to them. He's never spoke to them. He's never given them ears to hear. They have believed, just like some of you. You have believed, but he's never believed in you. He's never said a word to you. Never spoke to you. I believe with all my heart, verse 25 goes immediately into John chapter 3. And Nicodemus comes by night. I believe with all my heart he was in this group that believed. And he's come over there by night. Don't want nobody to see him coming over there. And he tells him in verse number 2. He said, Rabbi, he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He said, no man can do the things that you do. I believe with all my heart he was with that crowd that believed. One small problem. He ain't never said jack to Nicodemus. He ain't never spoke to him. And the first words that he ever says to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, if you don't get born again, you're going to hell when you die. Wow. He spoke to him. I'm asking you tonight. God talked to you. God talked to you. Substitution for people. I notice in this substitution, if you got your Bible there, Acts chapter number 2. Not only is he a substitute for people, but he's a substitute with a purpose. Substitute with purpose. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, he says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him. In the midst of you, as ye yourself also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden. He died, he was a substitute with a purpose tonight. I'm telling you, the Jews didn't kill Jesus. The Romans didn't kill Jesus. God the Father killed Jesus. He planned the whole thing from eternity past tonight. He hold the Romans and the Jews and you and I accountable for killing him. But God killed him. It is not a covenant agreement that he died to make a covenant with you and I. No, 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 no. The agreement is not between you and I and Jesus. Jesus died making a covenant agreement with his Father. He says, I have given you a gift of a people before the foundation of the world. And Jesus said, I shall go and I shall pay the price and I shall redeem them. And he said, when I come back up here the second time, he said, I'll have them with me. Oh, I'm talking about the substitution by this man. Substitution with a purpose. Substitution for people. You have the Bible there, John chapter number 18. I want us to see that he was a substitution for a person. Substitution for a purpose. Person. According to the Roman law, the legality of the edict, Jesus only ever died but for one person. Are you listening to me tonight? According to the Roman edict, according to the Roman law that crucified him, he was only ever crucified for one person. Makes me think tonight that he did die for individuals. Makes me think tonight that he died for an individual person tonight. I notice if you have the Bible there in John's Gospel, chapter number 18, verse 39. That you have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, wow, not this man. Oh, we don't want him. But Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. According to the Roman edict of the law, Jesus only ever died was for Barabbas. He took Barabbas' place. I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm not arguing with you tonight. If you want to see Jesus dying for everybody, whole world. I don't care tonight if you want to see the whole conglomeration of the sins of humanity placed upon him. I'm not arguing. But I have never, ever got excited about him dying for you. Ain't never done nothing for me. Nothing. I ain't never shed a tear. I ain't never waved a hand thinking about him dying for you. But the day that I pushed the world aside and all that big pile of conglomerate humanity sin, I pushed it aside. And I saw him on that cross dying for one person. Me. My stinking sin nailed him there. It was then I got excited. I could no longer sit and do this when they mention Calvary. No. Oh, no. He was my substitute tonight. I was wondering tonight, are you sure tonight he died for you? I'm not talking about for the world. I'm not talking about for all of humanity. I'm not talking about for all the sins that have ever been committed. Are you 100% sure he just died for you and your sins? Better be sure of that tonight. Substitution by this man. Close with this thought tonight if you have the Bible there. John's Gospel chapter number 6. I would mention tonight not only the rejection of this man, substitution of this man, could I mention the identification with this man. If he died for you tonight, you're one of his sheep. You want to identify with him. The old Puritans called it living the crucified life. Living the crucified life. I notice in John's Gospel, in chapter number 6, verse number 51, living the crucified life will give you provisions. He says in John chapter number 6, in verse number 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, says, how can this man, there's that little phrase again, give us his flesh? What is he talking about? Cannibalism? Eating him? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about all of my provisions is found in that cross. He's telling us what the songwriter said. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. My bread, my life, my water, my everything is in that cross. Your cross ain't worth mentioning once you realize what you can get from his cross.
living the crucified life gives provision. I notice in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, living the crucified life gives power. Gives power. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, power of God, wisdom of God. You make a big to-do. Quit making a big to-do about your crosses. Quit whining and sucking your thumb about your crosses. Go to making a big to-do about his cross. What good's that going to do me? He said, I'll give you power.
Amen. Why yet? Amen. Why yet?
A little word power. I've shared it with you before. It's a little word dunamo. We get our word dynamite from it. Explosion. But it is not the word for the explosion. Mm-mm. No. Because see, some of you have done that. You've done your little believe act. You've done your little prayer. You prayed your little prayer. And you come down to the altar. It's been years since you did it. And that one Sunday morning you had an explosion and it was all over with. That ain't the word. The little word that is used there is a little box in these implosions of these big buildings. They go and set this dynamite all over those buildings. And an old boy, he got a little computer box, and he goes across the street, and he hits a button, and when he hits that button, man, he goes, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Well, that power that he's put inside of me, that is that little box.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I don't just ba-boom one time. I can keep on ba-boom. And every time I don't make a big to-do about my cross and I make a big to-do about his cross, ba-boom. He likes it. I don't know if I've told you this story before, but it's on my heart. I wanted to hear it again. I've got a dear preacher friend up in West Virginia. I've been preaching for him, I think, 22, 23, 24 years. There ain't never been any more than 12 people there at any time I've ever been there. It's 5 miles up a one-lane road. And I don't think I've ever seen anybody come to the altar. Every year they say it's the greatest meeting they ever had. I don't know that I can tell it, but they seem to like it. But he was telling me some time ago, before his daddy died, they were dynamiting stumps on the back of his property. He got a big, nice farm. Beautiful property, rolling hills. And he said they had old goat at the house. He said that goat bad to butt you. Every time, he said, you turn your back on that goat, he is going to butt you right in the back with them horns. He said, it hurts so bad. He said, him and his daddy, he said, we had strung a long fuse of dynamite. He said, we had 3 or 4 sticks on a stump. And he says, I didn't look. He said, but I had lit it. And he said, it was already moving. And he said, I looked. And he said, that goat was on top of that stump. He said, I don't believe I'll see a goat go that high up now. Said it burnt every stitch of hair on the goat's body off. He said, the goat lived. He said, but from then on until the time the goat finally died of old age, he said, if I sensed that he was coming to butt me, he said, all I had to do is put my chin on my shoulder and go, I tell you, if you live the crucified life, every time the goat of the devil comes along, all you got to do is turn around and go, and he'll remember Calvary. He'll remember that he lost everything he's got there. Living the crucified life gives you provision. It gives you power. I notice last of all in Galatians chapter number 2, it'll give you persuasion. I read this verse last night. I want to add one more to it. Maybe in your thinking. I've been meditating on this verse today. Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. You remember Christ will never take up residence in a body, in a house, until the former resident dies. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What is the crucified life like? One that Christ is living inside of. There in the book of Galatians, if you've got it tonight, chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, saving all my problems, all my heartaches, all my troubles, all my trials. I probably ought to call somebody up tonight and tell them how bad I'm having it. Doesn't say that, does it? He said, God forbid that I should glory saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why in this world would I want to do that, preacher? By whom the world is crucified unto me. You do that, the world will not have any effect upon you. And I unto the world in all of its charms and all of its shiny things will have no effect upon you when you go to making a big to-do about his cross, forgetting about your cross. I was out walking this morning and I got to thinking about old Isaac Watts. Old Puritan of the 1600s. And God asked me while I was walking. He said, you ever surveyed the wondrous cross on which I, Prince of Glory, died? He said, Tom, he said, would you be willing to take your richest gain, count them but dung and lost, pour contempt on all your pride? Tom, were the whole realm nature yours? Or a present, would it be a present far too small to give to me? He says, after what I've done for you on the cross, it demands your soul, your life, your all. I kept meditating on Isaac Watts. I think the old boy's eat up with the cross. He wrote another song about the cross. Last and did my Savior be. Did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head? Die for what? Worms. I don't know about you. I might would die for a person, but a worm? Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. Is all that I can do. I got to thinking about my cross and the Lord's cross. When I got to the course, he said, at the cross, at the cross. You remember what the next words are? Where I first saw the light. His cross lights everything up. When I think of my crosses, it gets dark. I tell y'all, pray for me. I tell you, it's really dark. I don't know what I'm going to do. I tell you, you want to get out of that darkness, you go making a big to-do about his cross. Boom, the lights will come on. The cross, at the cross where I first saw the light. And what?
Amen.
The burden of my heart rolled away. Gracious, when I think about my crosses, I just get heavy. I just feel so burdened down. I just feel like I can't make it. But he says, if I go to thinking about his cross, it'll be like it was in here a few minutes ago. Man, I'm feeling right light. Man, I don't feel like I got no burden on me at all. I feel like I got an easy yoke. I feel like I could fly.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It was there by faith.
I receive my sight. Oh, to embrace his cross, make a big to-do about his cross, I've got to live by faith. Make a big to-do about my cross, I got to live by sight. I just keep looking at my crosses. Woo, man, I got a bunch of crosses. Hey, Gracie, woo, man. Hey, you can't have too many crosses. That give you more to whine about. Woo, man. Gracie, look at all I got. Man, I'll be busy tomorrow whining. I got so many crosses. But to look to his cross, you'll have to live by faith. But this is what got me while I was walking. He said, at the cross where I first saw the light, burden of my heart rolled away. There by faith I receive my sight. And now, making a big to-do about his cross. Then. And now, he said, I am happy all the day. I have never, ever had one of my crosses make me happy. Never. I ain't never been hurting in the middle part of my back and said, woo, man, woo, that making me happy. Woo, that making me happy. Never. He says, if you'll make a big to-do about my cross, he says, and now you shall be happy all the day. Talking about making much of this man's cross. Preacher, it's yours. Come. Thank you for letting me preach.
Let's stand. Brother Bride, you come. Get us something. Now, you may be here tonight, and you may say, some of that what that man's preached tonight, I just don't think's fair. Well, there'll be people listening to the radio, and they'll say that. Some of that what that man preached tonight, that's just not fair. Well, I really do hope you are saying that, because that's exactly right. There's nothing fair. There's nothing fair about him being rejected that I might be accepted. Oh my! Y'all not even bring fair into the conversation when it comes to salvation. Because if fair enters in, we all are rejected. And we all die lost forever, separated by God. But because he was rejected, and because of his cross, hallelujah, I've been accepted. In fact, he is rejected so I wouldn't be rejected, amen. Hallelujah. No wonder Paul said, God forbid, I should glory saving the cross. I don't know what you might need to do, but y'all just get at it. Amen's what I know. Go ahead, Brother Brian. Lead us.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he hold that same?